Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a national state of emergency without premium porn. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and clicking live broadcast. And for the first time ever, you can watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. I am your host, Davin Rosewood. I am joined on the phone by Joe Curry from his isolation chamber.
That's correct. Here I am.
Hello, Joe. And on the phone, who is somewhere below a horde pile, the one and only Pip Helix.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
We're amazing, Pip. We are amazing. All right. So we're back. We were off a week, and everything fell apart. A world. We leave. You know, before we left, I'm goofing on kids at the mall en masse. We come back. We have a worldwide pandemic. So, the lesson is, we can't take any more weeks off.
Apparently.
Yeah, we can't leave the world unattended.
No, we can't. It used to be I can't leave you unattended, but now I can't leave the world unattended.
Sorry.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, on the show, school fools. School tells the students at dance, you can't say no to no. Pip has a Bitches Be Crazy that involves a Major League Baseball player. Pornhub is making lockdown a little bit better in Italy. And Alex Jones, is selling the cure for the coronavirus. Why are we not beating this man's door down? I don't know. And a brand new, Scamming Scammers, Fake Davin, fell in love again. I think this time it's for reals. This time it's going to stick. I feel good about Lacey Gilbert.
Okay.
But I guess the first thing we might as well talk about is my coronavirus comedy tour, because like my health and the state of the country coincided with deteriorating. It was quite fascinating.
It just everything took a nosedive at once.
It did. I think this reveals just how important I am.
See, we need you.
You do need me. You do need me. I'm not the hero you want. I'm the hero you need.
Yes.
So let me go a little bit before the tour starts. Because I was gearing up on Saturday. I'm gearing up for my tour of Indiana and Kentucky. This is the first time I've ever flown out there. In the past, I've flown out there. So, of course, it's when I'm going to fly out there that they say, you should not fly. But I'm flying because I got my airfare. So my wife tells me that I should start drinking this thing called Emergency. Have you heard of what Emergency is?
Yes, yeah. I drink that before I do my Santa stuff, you know, because I got to be healthy all December and I can't, you know, be sick around kids. So I'll guzzle that skit all November.
Our Emergency is like some orange juice type soda thing that is supposed to boost your immune system. I say supposed. So I'm drinking this, you know, 3 days before my flight because I'm going to be in the airport and God, oh, really? We're going to have fucking tech. Oh, no, never mind. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just worried about syphilis. I don't know where I've been. So get a little laugh, whatever. Pack show goes great. Apparently, these people have not heard about the no handshake thing. I mean, I'm trying to fist pound it out. I'm not going to try the elbow or the wave or the foot. Or the chicken dance. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm trying to pound it out, but these people have not heard. Whatever.
Right.
Fine. Saturday's great. Ready to go. feel good. Good last show before I hit my tour. So Tuesday, I have a very early flight out of Newark into South Bend, Indiana. In the airport, I walk past an Asian man who sneezes twice without covering his mouth. What is wrong with this guy?
Well, I don't think it's anything. It doesn't matter that he's Asian.
No, it matters. He knows. He knows. Now, listen, I'm not blaming all Asian people, but you know we're looking at you a little sideways because of this thing anyway, because somebody there ate a bat. We know this. So it just happened to be Asian. The story's fine if it's not Asian, but it's better if it is Asian, and it was Asian. At what point are we allowed to walk up and punch him in the dick? When are we allowed to do that? Because he's assaulting us.
That very moment.
Yes, I know that's your advice, but I don't want to get in the sneeze spray, Joe.
Right.
So fine, I take a wide berth of this animal. So I go and sit by my gate, and I'm just minding my own business. And I put this on my Instagram page, and I put this on my Facebook page, Instagram at Davin Comedy. And there's this guy, and his like legs are standing up, but he's bent over like at a 45-degree angle, doing these like push-ups. But they're not really push-ups. It's more like sniffing a seat. I don't know what he's doing. Who wants to put their nose that close to an airport seat at Newark Airport? Who is doing this?
Some moron who thinks he's being healthy.
Healthy? Healthy what? If he sniffs enough butts, it's not the coronavirus is going to be scared? Yipe, 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 yipe.
on an airport lounge seat? Yeah.
Who was just sitting on it that he wants to sniff?
I didn't see who was sitting on it that I was sniffing. But, like, he would do, like, a few, I'll call them repetitions, and then he would, like, talk on the phone, and then he would do, like, a few more repetitions. Like it was too strenuous, or the high was too much. He had to take a break.
So, what is wrong with people?
I don't know. But this is before I've even left. So I land in South Bend after a layover in Detroit. My friend and feature act, Sean Shank, picks me up from the airport, drives me to the hotel. Flying can upset a tummy, okay? Flying can upset a tummy. I check into my room, and then I proceed to drop trout and do some man work. I've told nobody this part of the story. You guys are hearing it all for the first time. I figure nobody's listening. Why not now? So, so my work is significant. Here's the problem, though. The toilet is not flushing properly.
Oh no.
Yes. Oh, no. Fortunately, the work I did goes. But the toilet paper says I am not following it down that hole. I will not go. So I flush, and it fills all the way to the top, and then you let go, and then slowly it drains down. But the toilet paper says, no, not on my watch. I'm not going down that hole. And this happens for about 10 minutes. I've just flown across halfway across the country. I'm tired. I've seen things already that have scarred me. And the first thing in Indiana is I'm dealing with a faulty toilet. So now, because it's not going to go down, and they don't leave plungers in the rooms, which I guess they're afraid we're going to steal them. I don't know why. So now I have to...
They think.
Now I have to do the shame walk down to the lobby and say, the toilet's broken. Ugh.
Ugh.
I'm that guy. I broke the toilet.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, the lady's very nice. She's very understanding. She puts me in a suite, which is nice, which is really an upgrade. So I recommend it to everybody. Make sure as soon as you get into a room, drop trowel. Make sure it's some serious work. Break the toilet. They'll upgrade you.
Crap.
You should see what I'm going to do next time I fly. Right on the airway, right on the jetway. Before you get on the plane, I'm going to drop trowel. They're going to put me in first class. I can't wait.
How terrible though to have to do the walk of shame.
Oh, it's terrible, absolutely humiliating. So anyway, we do the show Tuesday. It's a place that Joe and I did last year together. Actually, the whole tour Joe and I did together last year. Packed house. Great crowd, great show. Again, everyone wants to shake hands. It's like these people are not worried about no friggin' coronavirus. They're not worried about keeping a social distance. Nobody cares. Everything is glorious. Sean and I are kings of the world. Sean brings his wife out. She sees him rock it. He's got friends there because he lives nearby. He's a hero. I do my thing. Everything is going well. We crushed it on a Tuesday. On a damn Tuesday. Everything is going well. What could possibly go wrong? So I wake up early on Wednesday to promote the evening show on the local radio station. We head to Logansport, Indiana. Sean suggests authentic Mexican restaurant he likes. He's from the area, man. If you grow up in an area, you know what's good, you know what's not good. I'm going to trust my boy, Sean. I eat Mexican food on the road all the time. I'm not worried. Not worried. And the food is definitely not like chain food Mexican. It's like definitely like authentic stuff. So he picked well, in theory. We're sitting there. What?
In theory.
We're sitting. We have a lovely meal. Sean and I are kicking back, chatting afterwards. You know, we're not in any rush. We got, you know, we're already in the town where we have the show tonight. I feel an ache in my left kidney.
Uh-oh.
It didn't register, but I was just like, huh. Well, that's kind of weird. All right.
Huh.
So we head back to the room. I get into the hotel room, and the Mexican food immediately makes a run for the border.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
It leaves me like immigration is chasing it. It is going with velocity.
Oh no!
Yes, it is like a superhero. It has transformed from solid to liquid in a matter of an hour, maybe.
Oh my God, dude, are you?
It's like ice agents were chasing a
to break another toilet at this point.
I was broken. So, this will happen several more times.
Oh no!
We're now in the territory. And we've all been there. I'm not going to be disgusting. But we are now in the territory where you cannot trust your farts. Your farts are no longer a friendly horn accompaniment to guide you merrily through the day that give you a smile. A fart is now the enemy. A fart has bad intentions.
And it's rough going because sometimes you have to do a test fart to see how things are going, you know, and then you got to clinch midstream because it was a trick.
There's no test farting, Joe. If I feel a fart, we are going back to the bathroom. I can't gamble. Right. I'm on the road. I have enough underwear and pants for every day. These are not the type of.
Right. It's not like home where you got, you know, you're right. You're packed, especially on a flight. You just pack for what you need.
Yes.
You're expecting you're going to be shitting yourself for 2 days.
Yes. Yes. Well, I never expect that I'll be shitting myself for 2 days, but it's good to know that sometimes you calculate that into the day. So now, and my tummy's upset, but we got work to do. But I don't know if we're going to have a fart or bonus material.
Oh no.
So I pass out, I go to sleep, because apparently I'm very weak. We get up for the show, don't feel great. Get to the beautiful State Theater, see my name on the marquee. It was not up on the marquee last time. Beautiful theater, Main Street, boom! There's my name on the marquee. That makes you feel good. That puffs out your chest, right?
That's thrilling.
It is thrilling. It never gets old. So we see.
Yeah, don't try to cut a fart.
I'm not going to try to cut a fart. You can't cut liquid, Joe. So we see the owner who I met last time in Lake, but apparently he tells me while I was passed out, the governor of Indiana declared a state of emergency and told everyone to stay home.
Oh, no.
Oh God.
Showtime. We have 6 audience members in a big, beautiful theater.
And I did that. And Pip, I was on that show last year. That's a big theater with 5 people there. That's kind of rough.
6, Joe. 6. Don't you sell me short.
Did you make bonus?
Yeah, the scale was 3 and above. So
listen, when you have that few amount of people, like, you can't be cutting one off.
No, but here's the thing. Even with all this stuff going on, when your name's on the marquee and there's six people, that's still a blow to your ego.
Sure.
That's like,
because it's your name on the bill. Yeah, I know how you feel. If I close, it's like when you close and you pull in a parking lot and there's 12 cars, that's a reflection on you. I hate that feeling.
So we're
reflection in this case on the fact that there's a state of emergency.
Yeah, it's a state of emergency. So we're
blaming you. And believe me, you're about to shit your pants at any minute, so you got bigger problems.
I do have bigger problems.
Oh, God.
Don't mind the fucking marquee.
So Sean and I are talking to the owner. He's asking us what you want to do. It always comes down. They always look at me because I'm the headliner. What do you want to do? I don't want to be the guy that sends home people disappointed. I don't want to be that guy. I mean, really, I feel like garbage. But I don't want to be the one to cancel the show. I never want to be that guy. So the owner
do it 10-20-30.
Well, here's what the owner came up with. We'll do an abbreviated show. We'll refund their money. Perfect. That's such a nice thing to do for everybody.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So we do that. They were a lovely six. Now I should tell you, two of the six were sitting all the way in the back in the last row.
Oh my God!
They were practicing social distancing.
Yes, they were.
So, but I got to be honest. It was a very good merch night. I did very well with merch. I should always have these six.
Really?
I did well with merch. And Sean introduced me to his friend, who's a screenwriter. He's had a couple of his movies in Hollywood, one with Bill Murray and everything. So he's looking at our script, Flush, which was appropriate.
That's good.
So
yeah, that was really appropriate for that evening.
Yes. So Sean wants to go out to eat. I'm like, you know what? I'm just drop me off at the room. I just want to go to bed. I haven't eaten since lunch. I'm not hungry. Go back to the room, pass out. I have like a fevered sleep with the chills and the sweats.
Yep.
And the next day's travel day. I know that's work.
Yes, exactly. We have 3.5 hours to Louisville. Louisville, as they say. Now, here's the difference between me and my pal Sean. Sean is a speed limit driver. I am not.
No.
I look at the GPS when it says 3.5 minutes. I go, bullshit. We're going to shave some time off of this just to watch.
Yeah, we're doing it in 2:12.
Yes, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with being, you know, safe and doing the speed limit. It's just when you have a weird stomach, you don't want to be in that car very long.
No.
But anyway.
Let's get this over with.
Because you're bargaining with your stomach and your butt cheeks to please allow this trip to happen.
Without a very embarrassing episode.
Yes. So my stomach's in pain. I'm a bit nauseous. My butthole is still holding back a tidal wave of bad intentions. So Sean wants to stop for burgers at a place that he loves. It's 11 a.m.
God.
He offers to get it to go. I insist, nay, nay. The reasoning was twofold. First of all, the man's got to drive 3.5 hours. There's no reason for him to sit there and eat like an animal. You know, enjoy your meal. You've been looking forward to these burgers. Eat like a human being. It's fine. I'm happy with that. Second of all, I think the smell in the closed quarters of the burgers and the fries and whatever, it would have been too much for me at that time.
What a difference than the last trip. There was the Studebaker Museum. Went to the couple of dollar stores and picked up some things.
The Muhammad Ali Museum,
yeah.
Yeah, this was not that.
No.
You were in the situation I was in your house when I had food poisoning, and just the mere mention of chicken salad made me have to spew.
Well, I was a little better off than you.
In
a lot of ways, you were better off than me, but in one way, I was better off than you. I only had it coming from one direction.
Yes.
Which is a big difference. So,
yes.
So I wait in the car about 15, 20 minutes. Eats, comes back. Wasn't very long, but, you know, whatever. So we're on our way, and, you know, my stomach's in a lot of pain. I feel terrible. I'm nauseous. So as we're driving, throughout the day, Sean and I are seeing a stream of comedians talk about gigs getting canceled. We're kind of even stunned that we're doing shows Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with everything that's going on. Because the news is just getting progressively worse. We're grateful, but we're surprised. The most amazing thing of the tour, my stomach held out for that 3.5 hour drive.
Unbelievable.
Yes. As soon as we get to the hotel, you know what happened.
Well, you've been holding it in.
Yes. It said, all right, we made our Faustian bargain. Now this toilet's going to pay. And away we go. And then,
you unleashed the fury.
I did unleash the fury. And then I sleep for a few hours again. Anybody who knows me knows I do not sleep that much. But I slept for a few hours before the show. But here's the thing. But we got to stop for a second and go back. Remember how Joe was talking about how that emergency, it protects you? Bullshit, I say. Yeah. It did not. It failed.
Yeah, I don't think it was around for the Mexican meal. I think the Mexican food did you in.
No, I don't think so. I think I got something. I think I got a bug. But anyway.
Well, how was Sean? I guess Sean was
up. We'll get there. We'll get there. Don't jump ahead.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Well, I was a little jealous I didn't go on this tour. I'm kind of glad I stayed home.
So I wake up.
Really?
So I wake up before the show to find out that the governor of Kentucky has declared a state of emergency and told people not to go out.
Oh, for the love of God.
And I'll see your pandemic state of emergency and raise you a tornado warning.
Finally, some good news.
No good news. We got to go out. So we get to the place. We have four hearty souls for the Thursday show. Diana, the boss, asked me what I think, and again, I'm in this position. Like, I don't want to be the one to cancel. I really want to go to bed and die, but I don't want to be the one to cancel.
Right.
So we agree again to do an abbreviated show. Now, I love being on stage, but abbreviated show is my best friend on this tour.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
So we do the show for four people. Now, of the four people, they're all in the front row, nice and close. No social distancing here. One of the four who was a cop who was coughing.
Oh, no.
I lit into his ass. I was just ripping him. But here's the thing. I started with high energy, but it was waning as the evening, as the show would go on.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to let because I've seen you. I mean, when we were we were in Michigan, 4 years ago when you were really sick with the chest cold.
Yeah.
And I watched you plow, and I was sitting. Tommy was actually sitting with me.
Yeah, Tom was there.
Tom was physically there, and I was sitting like coaching you through. I told Tom, I go, you will never see this. You're lucky to see. I go, me having compassion because I'm going, why is he pushing? Back off. Don't, you know. So even when you're sick with something else, you usually give it full gun.
I'm trying. Yeah. Everybody in the club was impressed with my high energy for the four people. They were all impressed. So, I'm dying inside. So I did 30. So I'm standing by the merch table, and I didn't know this. I think until the next day. But Sean told me I wobbled. Apparently, I almost went down.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I didn't know. But, Sean was next to me, so he would know. So,
did anybody else seem to notice?
It wasn't a discussion I was having.
Hey, did any of you people see me almost pass out?
Yeah, and by the way, I got the diarrheas. You want to talk about that? No, I don't talk about that.
Yeah. I've got the trots.
Yeah.
I've got the trots, ladies and gentlemen.
But now, I have not eaten anything since Wednesday's Mexican. I have not eaten anything. On the way out, I order like 6 inches of bread of a white Italian bread from Subway. I try to nurse that through the evening. I wasn't hungry, but I need to try to get food in my system.
You didn't go to the chicken finger restaurant?
No, Joe, you do have a good memory. No, I did not go to the chicken finger restaurant and the place across the street where they gave you the $18 burger and you said, keep it.
Yeah. But they have a restaurant in the shopping center that sells nothing but chicken fingers. I'm like, what, is everybody in this town five?
No, they sell nuggets to the kids.
So Thursday night, I am asleep before 10. Friday comes. We are still in a liquid state.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. God.
And I feel terrible for Sean because I rarely get to see him. I want to hang out with him. And now I'm like the worst travel buddy ever. But there's nothing I can do. Yeah. So I get some toast. I'll spend most of Friday sleeping. What am I going to do? That's what during my waking state, I see the president declare a national state of emergency and tell everyone to stay home. We've had 3 consecutive days of states of emergencies with a tornado warning thrown in.
and a blast warning coming from you.
Yes. And now we are a pandemic. Friday night, first show, we have 12 hearty souls. 12 hearty souls for this first show, which is very low for a Friday night. We're doing 2 shows that night. So we're all doing full sets on this one, so I need to do 45 minutes. I start off high energy. Now, the audience can't tell, but I'm having trouble remembering my act. They can't tell because, you know, I'm able to recover, but I'm actually doing... Oh, what do I say here in my own head, which never happens. I don't feel like I'm moving great on stage either, but they can't tell. But I just feel like if I go forward or backwards too much, I might go down.
Were you holding on to the mic stand?
No, I don't think I was. I don't know if I was on Friday night.
Because, you know, look, I've gone up when I was, you know, under the weather sometimes, you know, and you hold on to that mic stand, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there was a stool on there, and I had stools, so I could have sat, but, you know, I wanted to try to get through it. So we started off with high energy. By the end of the set, at least I feel my voice was barely above a whisper.
Wow.
Thankfully, the material's strong at this point, so it's enough to carry me through. So even if I'm not delivering it the way I would normally deliver it, I can deliver it in storyteller mode. You know, like we're all gathered around acoustically. I can do that. So it was fine. Our there's no choice. Comics don't get to call in sick. You do the gig.
Right.
There was some time. I remember one time when I was still installing fences. I was cleaning up. I had to work at Bananas that night, and I was cleaning up from a fence job, and I had a tree branch smack me and scratch my retina.
Ooh.
And I could barely open my eye. Joanne, my ex-wife, was saying, you got to cancel the gig. You can't. I go, I got to be on stage in 2.5 hours. There's no canceling anything. And I looked like an old sea captain with my clenched eye. That's what I look like, you know.
So
you sing a lot of sea shanties on stage?
Yeah.
Funny. So, you know, whatever. You gotta do the show. Fortunately, the second show was canceled. The staff again was very complimentary of my energy. So I'm like thinking, wow, they like this. Imagine if I was actually me.
The second show got canceled. That was the Saturday show?
Friday. We're still Friday.
Friday, okay.
Now our buddy Johnny comes out to see us. To say hello, and I wanted to hang longer, but, you know, I explained to him the situation. So, you know, that sucks. So Sean and I went across the street to get some Chinese food. I got some steamed chicken breast, no sauce, broth, and steamed rice. And because I know
sounds reasonable.
Because I know I have to get something into my system to try to heal up.
Yeah.
So I need some protein to help me recover. So we get it to go. I eat a little in my room, and I pass out. And I have, like the most feverish sleep with the violent chills and the sweating. It was the worst sleep yet. I got sick Wednesday afternoon. This is Friday night. So I don't think this was not food poisoning. I got
food poisoning you better the next day. So you've got a virus.
Yes.
Stomach virus.
Saturday week, I wake up from my god-awful sleep at 4 a.m. Around 6, I go down and get a bit of eggs and toast and tea. Now that I have something in my stomach, I want to try to take some meds to fight off this fever. So I ask the man working behind the desk if they sell Tylenol. You know, a lot of times they'll sell, like, stuff. He puts the biggest bottle of ibuprofen on the desk. I'm like, wow. How much for that? he's like, you call that ibuprofen? This is ibuprofen.
This is ibuprofen, motherfucker.
He's like, no, just take what you want. So I take two. And I feel like the ibuprofen helped me turn the corner. It broke my fever. I ate some more broth, chicken, and rice. I met Sean at 1 so we could run some errands. I'm starting to feel better. I get some Tylenol and more ibuprofen. So he wants lunch at Five Brothers. I'm still not really hungry, but at least now I can handle the smell. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a big improvement. I'm starting to get back to normal. I'm still not hungry, but I could eat to help me heal. Things are getting better. I meet up to go to the show with Sean, and now he tells me he's feeling sick.
No, oh no.
Yeah, this makes me feel horrible, man. He's been so good to me this whole tour. I mean, we have one makeout session and he caught it.
Right. Now let me ask you, at this point, do you have to be close to a toilet, or has that passed?
That has passed. I mean, I'm still not trusting farts. I still don't trust the fart.
Right.
Oh, God.
But my stomach is starting to solidify things. So I'm doing a little better. So Sean tells me he's getting sick. So I load him up with a bowl of Tums, ibuprofen, Tylenol. We stop and get some anti-diarrhea medicine, which I should have thought of getting, but we got him some of that.
That could have helped. Yeah, it's called Imodium, stupid.
But the gas station is just called anti-diarrhea. All right, Joe, what do you want me to tell you?
All right.
Apparently, the gas station doesn't carry Imodium. They have the knockoff brand. Anti-diarrhea. Put this in you.
These instructions sound reasonable to me.
Yes. So we load Sean up with his drugs, and we're pulling onto the highway. I'm like, oh, look at that. And there's a car, which is now perpendicular to the highway, which is off in the grass, head on into the guardrail. I mean, it's not on the exit ramp, but it's not in a ditch, but it's in the grass. It's not where it's supposed to be, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Sean wheels the car over like he's a Duke boy. Not a David Duke boy, a Dukes of Hazzard boy.
Yeah.
And
oh, thank God for that.
Yeah, with tiki torches in hand. No, he wheels over.
Is one of them in there?
And he's a big man, and he's like out of there, checking him. I'm like, God damn, I'm traveling with a superhero.
Yeah.
So he checks on them, and fortunately, as we get there, the police and fire department and EMTs arrive right afterwards. But that was just cool to watch them spring into action. So
wow.
Yeah, it was impressive. I picked a good travel buddy. So we drive over to the gig. So for the first time ever, we actually have a real crowd. We have 30 people or so.
What? Wow.
And I
actually feel good. I feel good. So, but there's a guy coughing. There's a guy coughing. Again, I rip into him. At one point, I point out that the shirt he's wearing says Affliction on it.
Affliction?
Yeah, it's a brand, but it's what he had, an Affliction.
He does, if he's coughing all over everybody.
And then there's like a couple seats down, there's a dark-haired guy with glasses. I call him Harry Potter. I'm like, why don't you cast a spell on him? Do something about this over here. So, Sean had a great set in front of me. Melissa, the host, had a great set. Pete, the guest spot, had a good set. Everybody had a good set. I finally felt like me. I was riffing across the room, weaving in material. It finally felt good. I was able to keep my strength up. Felt good.
Yeah.
It felt good. And then we did the late show Saturday, which was smaller, but that often happens, and they weren't as good. They were drunker, but it was still a good show. It was still, it was fine. It was a good way to get, okay, good. So the tour ended well. So we'll get into Sunday. So when we get back very late, I have a very early flight. So I get about 1.5 hours sleep. Yeah.
Oh, that makes me feel worse.
Yeah, well, I get 1.5 hours sleep. I finished a little bit of Chinese food I had left, because that's really all I've eaten since the Mexican food was the Chinese food. It's like the International House of Horrors in my tummy. But anyway.
Now, you had that Chinese food in the refrigerator there, right? You didn't leave it out, did you?
Yeah, yeah, no. I had a refrigerator and microwave in my room.
Yeah, because I had to say, I remember the hotel. All right. I just said, you left it out, you're a lunatic.
But no. No, they gave me a suite. Everything was good. So I get up. I feel good. I feel pretty good. This is like 4:30. Sean, however, was not great. You know, so so he's got what I got. So it wasn't the Mexican food, although I did rant and blame Sean for the Mexican food during one show. It wasn't the Mexican food. I got something. Emergency failed. Emergency failed on the job is what happened.
Well, it doesn't catch everything. It's not that big of a net.
No, well, apparently not. Well, listen, what I was going through would go right through a net. I'll tell you that much. A net could not contain what I work with.
I think it's more apt to take care of respiratory illness and not stomach.
Oh, well, this was the other end. Anyway.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there waiting for my flight, and then there's a young woman, and she's coughing and sneezing and sniffling. It's like, what is wrong with you, you Mucinex snot? Why are you here?
I don't know why people keep going out while they're ill.
I don't know. So the flight is half full at best, and apparently we all bought the cheap seats because now everybody else, that's when we all got on the plane.
Right.
And that's like, and it's all in the back and everything. But there's this woman sitting next to me. I'm like, you know what? There's plenty of room. Let me move up a seat. No reason to be crowded. And she wasn't a big woman. She was a lovely small woman. But I'm like, let me move up a seat. So I go to sit down. I put my hand in the seatbelt, and there's a pink sticky substance on the seatbelt.
Ew!
This plane has been parked overnight. They tell us that they're cleaning these airplanes and they're taking extra precautions. And please fly with us. Fuck you. The seat was all pink and sticky and everything. So they're not cleaning shit. This thing was there overnight. They had plenty of time. So I tell one of the flight attendants, she's like, I just got here. I didn't think you were eating a Jolly Rancher and the seat, sweetheart. I'm just letting you know what's going on.
Yeah, don't have anybody sit in that seat. I'm going to move. First, I'm going to clean myself off. Then I'm going to destroy your toilet so you'll bump me up to first class.
But shouldn't she have been a little bit more like, don't blame me? I mean, wasn't that the last thing? She should have been a little more helpful.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, she should have been a little bit more concerned that there's sticky pink shit all over, like the fucking Energizer. Shut up, stupid. The Energizer bunny that's sitting there.
And now I'm gonna go on a little rant.
People conflate Energizer and vagina. That sounds like the inner vagina bunny.
That's my favorite type of rabbit. I like a vagina that keeps on going and going and going and going and going. Oh, look, there it goes. Damn it, vagina, stop. Now, before we catch up with you two, I'm about to go on a mini rant. Because it dovetails nicely into the last thing I talked about. They're talking about giving these airlines a bailout? Are you fucking kidding me? How many times do we have to bail out these motherfuckers? They make money high on the hog. They nickel and dime us. They're still charging us the 9/11 fuel surcharge and everything. You can't pick your seat without a fee. You can't bring a carry-on without a fee. And we're going to bail them out because they had a couple of bad weeks? Aren't they supposed to save money? Don't they have insurance? What the fuck is that? And I don't want to hear anything about socialism anymore. Bernie was right. Bernie, so we can't have health care, we can't have education for me, but we're going to bail out these goddamn airlines again? Are you kidding me? Because they had a couple of bad weeks? What the fuck? All right.
All right.
I'm sorry. It's very, because that's our money. And it looks like it's going to be money that we're going to need to use to buy medical equipment and make people whole. Businesses that are not going to survive as gig economists like myself. And not just talking about me, but, you know, like waiters and bartenders and Uber drivers and entertainers who are not getting any damn paycheck because we've all been shut down. We're not allowed to go to work. We want to go to work. We're not allowed to go to work. Our places of business are closed. And we're going to bail out the airlines? Are you kidding me?
Really?
Okay, good. No comments?
Yeah.
I thought Joe was going to say something, so I shut my pie hole for a change.
Okay.
Well, it depends. I don't, you know, I just heard that they just recently were going to help them bail them out. We'll see. I don't know, because if we, you know, basically the airlines is pretty much a big part of travel. And if the airlines start going down, it could hold up everything getting back on.
They've been making huge profits. They're very profitable. They've had a couple of bad weeks. Oh, well.
Are the bailouts alone?
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. If we're going to bail out, it better go to, like, to the flight attendants and the cleaning crews and people like that. It better not go to the executives.
That's what they always do. Every time we bail somebody out, when we bailed out the banks, you saw all these CEOs giving these gigantic increases or these golden parachutes. It's like if it doesn't go into rebuilding the business or paying for, you know, improvements or paying the little guys that work for the company, I don't want to see taxpayer money going to it.
I don't understand why the working poor have to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, but the fucking airlines who nickel and dime us and charge us for everything and treat us like shit. God forbid you want to change a reservation and you don't have the right type of seats or you didn't buy travel insurance. But they get the bailout. But your average everyday people, they got to figure it out on their own. No, it's not acceptable. This is our money.
Is the bailout going to be a loan to get them by, or are you going to subsidize them?
I don't know, Joe. We've subsidized them in the past. I don't know what it's going to look like. I got to be honest. I don't know. But again, they have insurance. They have money. Don't they have money for a rainy day? We're told to save up. Some people have, you know, a Ragu jar full of money. We're told, you know, just in case to save up. Most of us don't have enough money for a rainy day, but that's what we're told to do. They've had a couple of bad weeks, and now they come crying to the president for a bailout? Are you kidding me?
I know. It happens all the time.
We'll see how it plays out because basically the other option is them jacking up fares.
They ain't jacking up fares if nobody's flying them.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you got planes going out empty, you know, that costs a lot of money to fly. And how long that could go on, you know, who knows?
Hey, Joe. Here's a phrase you've heard of: cost of doing business. Plan for a bit.
Yeah, of course, they're doing business, but these are extraordinary circumstances.
You know what, Joe? When somebody suffers from cancer and they don't have health insurance, they got to figure it out. We don't, you know.
Okay.
That's just the way it is. We got to see GoFundMe pages. We got to see perfectly hardworking Americans who've done nothing wrong, who have a horrible setback to no fault of their own, have to go begging to be made whole, just so they could survive. It's not acceptable. It's just, Bernie's right. I mean, listen, Bernie's not my favorite, whatever, but he's right, man. It's socialism for the rich. Fuck them. Figure it out.
Let's see how they pay it back. You know, I mean, basically, it's a big part of travel, a big part of doing business, big part of getting around, and if the airlines start going under, the cost of flying might be astronomical. So maybe they'll look.
The cost of flying already is astronomical. They charge us for everything.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just expensive. You know, it's expensive to run. It's expensive to run a plane.
Is it really that they have to charge me to pick a seat? I didn't realize that cost them more money. My bad. Stop it. Stop defending them. Pretend it's a Mexican airline. You won't defend it.
Yeah. Fuck Aeromexico.
Exactly. All right. I'll say this. I'm doing something productive with my time. Our school system is amazing here. It really is. So, you know, there's always kids that need food, that get, you know, discounted meals or free meals, whatever, you know, that go to school. Obviously, school is closed here. So we're delivering it to the homes, and I made a delivery today. And it's not to pat myself on the back. The point of this is, if you are home and you're like me and your really work options are limited at this point, see if there's some place where you can volunteer within the parameters of social distancing and all that stuff. See, you know, maybe at an animal shelter or something. See if there's a place where you can make a difference. Check on a neighbor. You know, cook meals for local neighbor, you know, neighbors, people that you know and everything, that you know are shut in. Do something productive with your time. It'll make you feel better about your own situation. That's all I want to say about that. You guys have the floor.
Well, I
think that Joe should be able to talk for a while because he doesn't usually get to do the chit-chat.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, basically with this whole thing, last week at the day program, Around Wednesday, it was Thursday. Basically, this time of year, I get a allergy. I get allergies. I have a cough and stuff like that. So I was starting to feel the allergy come on. And I was coughing. Felt a little hot on Wednesday morning, but I'm like, ah, it's just the allergy. So basically going into Thursday, I was thinking, well, you know, I still have the cough. And I go, but I know that it's just a cough from the allergies. But meanwhile, I'm thinking, you know, and I'm like, well, just for the simple reason that I'm going to be crashing at the compound and I'll be hanging out with Anthony. And then Anthony's got, you know, he's going to be in Philly doing comics at the compound down there and meeting fans. I'm going to be down at Uncle Vinny's meeting the people, the fans down there and stuff like that. I go, maybe I should have it checked. But on the other side, I'm like, ah, maybe not. You know, I'm over-exaggerating myself. About 12 o'clock on last Thursday morning, one of the owners of the company gives a speech, stops us and says, well, if anybody has a cough, you know, they need to leave. Or if they feel they're sick, they need to leave. You know, the owner of the company, he's very susceptible. If somebody gets him sick, he could die. We're not taking this lightly, blah, blah, blah. So I spoke to my supervisor, and I wrote to him. The man sits about 10 feet away from me. I wrote to him, and I said, don't tell anybody. I go, I'm just going to go to the doctor and have this checked out. So I call up my general practitioner and make an appointment with them, and then they call back and go, don't come here. Go to one of the emergency clinics that are around. So I go to the emergency clinic by my old neighborhood, and I go in there. And everybody's wearing a mask, and they ask the symptoms. And that's one thing that I have to state when you go in there. As soon as you walk in and you tell them that you know, you have a cough and this, that, and the other thing, they're not like, my God, man, come right in here now. They'll start to question you. Have you traveled outside of the country? Have you sat with somebody that you think might have this? And in my instance, it was no, no, and no. Have you had the chills? No. Do you have a fever? I had a mild, you know, I felt a little hot coming in yesterday, but it dissipated on my commute in, blah, blah, blah. All right. So, you know, I waited about an hour, which was normal. And I go in there, and the practitioner looked me over, got all my information. The doctor looked me over and said, yeah, it looks like you have post-nasal drip. Gave me a prescription, and I went home. And while I was walking out, she said, do you need anything to give to your boss? And I go, yeah, can I have a piece of paper saying I'm fine? Yeah. I get back to the day program. I hung this like a wanted poster on my cubicle. You know when they hang, like, stuff at a restaurant and they put that little grade A in there?
Yep.
To put on the side that I'm fine.
And your Board of Health certificate?
My Board of Health certificate. So
your inspection?
Yeah. So what they did was, They really cracked down at the day program. Basically, the sales office staff can't go into the warehouse. The warehouse staff can't come in by us. We can't go upstairs to the executive area or the accounting department. So they're all segregating. What they said today, they originally wanted us all to work from home, but gave us the option. A couple of people decided to work from home. I've got too much stuff to pack and bring, and I got to set up the office here. So I decided that I'm gonna drive in. But the interesting thing about it is that I had to work down at Uncle Vinny's, which is down the Jersey Shore, and that requires me taking the Bell Parkway at rush hour, going over the Verrazano Bridge at rush hour, going through Staten Island at rush hour. There was no traffic. There was no traffic jam. I just, you know, I tapped on the brakes. Don't get me wrong. But for what it usually is, no traffic at all, you know. So, and on the shows down there, you know, were lightly attended. I mean, you know, understandably, we had probably about 15 people on Friday, and we had about 25 people on Saturday night.
Wow.
Wednesday and Thursday, you know, but it was basically with people being cautious. So, yeah, it's a bit of a very interesting dynamic. Meanwhile, the supermarkets look like locusts hit it. I was able to get basically some, you know, a decent amount of frozen stuff, some canned stuff. Finding paper towels and finding toilet paper is another story. I lucked out yesterday. I wound up finding paper towels. I got like six rolls of paper towel and brought that home. Toilet paper, I can't find. I'm not at DEFCON 1. I've got four rolls.
No, I believe it would be DEFCON 2, Joe.
Yeah, puddle. So you did. But yeah. So I have about a week maybe in a week and a half's worth of toilet paper. So
we'll keep checking in with you.
I was out like the Road Warrior last week.
Can we have a little TP counter on like on the Davin's Den Facebook page where you check in with us, let us know what the situation is. Godspeed.
Well,
can you Davin's Den fans, Dennis, can you spare a square? Do you have an extra roll of toilet paper? Maybe some one-ply? Maybe something you picked up at the side of the road at a gas station? Can you send it to Joe? He's going to be onto hand towels, and then he's going to be onto sake, and I don't like that! So, please. I'm not for that hole! So if you could spare or square, can you help our pal Joe? It's desperate times over there. Pretty soon he's just going to be looking side at stray cats, and they're not going to like what happens when he catches them.
Yeah. They're going to look like you're in the toilet in the room.
Yeah.
Is what they're going to look.
It's going to be a bunch of crappy kitties.
Yeah, but I'm going to Walmart. Walmart? What the hell is Walmart? Walmart. First thing tomorrow morning, you know, at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Joe, nobody thinks about that. Get him by surprise.
Yeah, no, there's probably gonna be another bunch of dumbbells like me, but yeah, you know, I mean, I'm being proactive. I won't be out of toilet paper for over a week.
You know what I could do? I do have some extra cat litter. Would you like that?
Thank you. No,
it's clumping type. It's easy to clean.
Yeah, but I got, you know what though? I found a paper towel. Now what I have is napkins, dinner napkins. So I bought about 4 bags of those because God forbid if I can't. You know, can't find napkins. You know, I can't find a toilet paper. My asshole isn't finicky. You know, whatever I can find.
Where are the good linens? I need to drop a deuce.
Yeah. You know, so I bought. They had them, so I bought them. You know, just in case.
These are desperate times.
Yes, they are. They are. Improvise, overcome, and adapt.
It's not just the flu now, is it, Joe? Nay, nay. Not when toilet paper's at stake. Yeah, people really gotta stop with this with the toilet paper thing. Enough, people. There's plenty of toilet paper. You don't have to take 100 rolls now. You'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I went out searching last night, and nobody. I looked out at the dollar store. They had the paper towel, and I went to a couple of dollar stores. No luck. Went to a couple of Targets. No luck. I was too late to go to Walmart. I was going to go to Walmart this morning, but I got up late, so I had to get back to the day program. But, yeah, I will look. And I, like I said, I've got about five packages of napkins.
I think we know the real reason why Joe is going into the office. He doesn't want to waste his own toilet paper.
You didn't hear that from me.
All right, I'm just saying. Joe will be deucing out.
I didn't hear that from me, but that was part of the equipment. You know, don't forget, I'm a Scotchman, okay? I could use their toilet paper, I could use their heat, and I could use their electricity. That's
Joe will be deucing out from now on. He shall be bringing in his briefcase will be a library. He will be spending a lot of time at work. Oh, Joe, see, you're really putting in the extra hours. You know me, boss, can't get enough of it.
Oh, you heard me at around 3 o'clock.
That's sure. Good. I know the way you operate.
Yes, and you're very perceptive. Very good.
I know your
very
tricks.
Inspector.
All right. Pip, what's going on with you?
Well, you know, pretty much the same as you guys. It's just trying to weather the storm, and you know, we're not desperate in any way about being out of supplies or anything, because you know, this old hoarder has got enough for several families to get through the isolating time.
Pip has vintage toilet paper from 1978. It's got patterns on it. When they used to make colored toilet paper, like baby blue.
Little Liberty Bells
for 1976. Was it 76? Yeah, she's got the bicentennial toilet paper. Benjamin Franklin's looking at her. Don't put me there, lady.
Yeah, right? Nope. We gotta come out of the display case now. It looks like the Liberty Bell's getting them some more shit.
The turds are coming. The turds are coming. we all made fun of Pip Helix, but now who's the smart one? Exactly. Pip Helix had it all figured out, was pandemic prepared.
Well, actually, you know what? I do have a bone to pick with. I mean, I am a hoarder. I've admitted so on the show. But
yeah,
I,
no shit. We've seen the car, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every space is filled. But the thing is that I still have an I'm absolutely angry at the are going into the stores and buying, you know, part of the pond, a shit ton of toilet paper, because there's no reason to do this. And it just, to me, it shows a character flaw in all these people. It shows what they think of their fellow man. They're like, right, more for me, go fuck yourself.
I'll tell you what, though. These are not Bernie supporters. Bernie supporters will share the toilet paper. Socialism. Everybody shares the same square, but you share the toilet paper.
Right. Now, thinking about how many rolls you use, look at extraordinary circumstances. Gavin, how many rolls of toilet paper do you think you went through on your odyssey?
Is that what we're calling it? My odyssey?
Your odyssey, yeah.
When a boy turned into a man through his ass? Is that what we're calling it?
Oh, my God. That's great. It's odyssey.
People will go, well, we needed toilet paper. You really needed toilet paper. So
I don't know. It was not as much as you would think. I will say that. I will leave it there. I don't want to get graphic with this. It was not as much as you would think, but I get your point. But I will also say, most people will not be dining with Sean, so they will probably not have these issues.
What I mean is that people who do things like that, like the son of a bitch who hoarded all of the hand sanitizer so that he could price gouge people in a time where it's actually a public health concern to have items like
that. Oh, that guy. Yeah.
You know, he's the example that everybody knows about. But if you look, and I'm sure that there are examples, like lesser examples, all over the place. And it's like, what kind of piece of shit are you? In an emergency, to other people.
That's what people are doing.
I was thinking. I was talking to my friend Lenore yesterday, and I told Lenore, I go, could you imagine if I was still with Joanne, she would have built a decontamination chamber in the garage that I would have to go through to be sprayed and everything like that. So Joanne actually texted me today to go, hey, how you doing and all this? And I said, fine. And I go, you know, I was talking to Lenore yesterday, and I was saying that how you probably build a decontamination chamber in the garage. She goes, yeah, you bet your ass I would have.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with protecting yourself. I mean, that's a little extreme, but there's nothing wrong with protecting yourself and being sane and careful during these times. I mean, I think that isolation, like what we're doing right now, is calling into the show. I don't want to take the chance of like having that travel on me and bring it to people that I care about. You know, I think that's prudent.
I'll tell you something, and then we'll take a break unless you guys have anything else pressing. There's a place here next town over called Frozen Ropes. It's a baseball training place, baseball, softball training place. They have fields, instruction, everything. They're open. They're encouraging high school players, because their season's been canceled until who knows when, to join teams there and play there. I'm like, I called the police today. I called the police. I'm like, why are they open? You can't even go into, you can't even go to the diner and sit down and have a cup of coffee. Everybody else is losing money. We're all in this together. We're all doing social distancing. Why are they open? She's like, no, I talked to one of the police officers. I have the same concerns. I don't know. So we asked the DA, the district attorney, and they're like, they fall through one of the cracks because they're not technically a gym, so they can stay open. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So these kids are all going to get together. They're going to go out in the community. You're going to see them in the supermarket and their parents. And what's the point of all of us staying home if these assholes are out playing baseball?
I think basically they were saying with golf courses, like golf courses are open. I was hearing one guy on the radio say the golf course that he's by, they're open. You can't get a cart. You have to bring your own. You have to drag your own bag around the course because they don't want to get any chance of disease on a golf cart. But they're saying that basically, if it's out in the fresh air, open, you know, they don't have a problem with it.
But you can't be. You're supposed to be 6 feet apart, even in fresh air. And golf, at most, you're playing four together. Baseball, you're in close proximity. You think of the batter, the catcher, the umpire. You think of the ball being passed around. They don't clean the ball. They go, oh, ground ball to shortstop. Hold on. Get the Purell. Douse the ball in Purell and then throw over to first. They're not doing that.
Isn't that an illegal pitch?
What?
Isn't that an illegal pitch?
Yes, it would be. But I said a ground ball. But yes, it would be an illegal pitch. Yes, you cannot put a foreign substance on the baseball. Yes, Pip, this is true. Thank you, Commissioner of Major League Baseball.
No, you're welcome.
No, but this play, it's ridiculous. We're all trying to, you know, do the right thing. The schools are shut down. People are out of work. People have to work from home. And they're staying open. It's wrong.
Yeah, it's not safe. It's not a good thing for those kids.
No. All right. Anything else, kids?
That'll do it.
Pip?
For now.
Okay. Stay tuned. all right, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back with the story about the U2 of school where you can't say no thank you to a dance. And we got some more stories. On the break, we got some brand new music by Fifi with Butterflies and Christopher Taylor with I Can't Stop. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. Short break.